Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Colin Bird, Chairman of Galileo Resources. Welcome back, Colin. How's things?
Fine, thank you. How's things with you, Phil?
Yeah, all good. Yeah, we've finally got some what I'll call a bit of summery weather here. Got the summer shirt on. Feel very cooling off a bit now, but it's actually finally nice to get some good weather. What about things with you, Colin? What have you been up to?
Well, I certainly got up with it. Been very, 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 very busy. And quite frankly, when you look at how slow the market is and the rate of work we've got, there's kind of a total disconnect. But I think that's always the case, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. So obviously, I mean, let's start with Galileo. And obviously, we saw the recent news regarding the commencement of a Phase 3 drill program at the Shinganda copper-gold project in Zambia to validate near-surface copper-gold mineralization along the Shinganda fault splay, following positive results from the Phase 1 and 2 drilling, which indicated copper-gold grades between 1% and 1.5% copper equivalent at shallow depths. Phase 3 will target a 4 kilometers of potential extension to 8 kilometers. This phase will focus on supergene high-grade zones associated with magnetic anomalies and is expected to begin by Q3 2024. You highlighted the compelling targets and immediate potential for shareholder value enhancement from this program. Tell us more, please, Colin.
Yep, well, there you go. I mean, your sort of dissertation there sort of said quite clearly that it's a multi-target situation. We followed up from Vale, the Brazilian company, and inherited some, for whatever reason, they left the country, and we managed to procure this tenement, this concession, and do our own work. The sort of the guts of their work identified a trend they call the Gerard, which they named as the Gerard Trend, which quite frankly is instrumental to the project, but not the be-all and end-all. The intrusive lead to the own IOCG theory. I mean, this Gerard Trend, what was more important was the splays which come off it. And how do we know that? We know that because we reworked the raw data. You know, when you've got a nice raw data package, Kevin, Phil, you and, you know, today's modern geophysics, they can often get out the noise, which as recent as five, seven years ago might not have been doable. It's doable now. It's amazing how that science is progressing. So the Gerard Trend, we more or less did what Vale did. Drilled a hole, got a bit disappointed because we couldn't repeat it a bit further away. That was a couple of 3 years ago. And then we got into this geophysics and, you know, we found out that the splays are instrumental. So the Gerard Trend more or less runs east-west and the splays run north-south. And we started investigating them, formed an opinion that the west, some opinion, was more, for some reason, was more auriferous, more, you know, had more gold. On the east, more copper. Then we identified an area of white eye gold with very little copper. I guess we've identified the anchorite, which is the main target now. And why are we pursuing this first? Well, we're pursuing it because it's simple. It doesn't go down much more than 70 meters, possibly 100. It's at least 4 kilometers long now and could grow to 8. The grades are very nice, thank you very much, and there'll be a gold contribution. So this is a nice subject. You're talking about very low stripping ratios, of course. Very definable. We've run magnetics over it, our own box magnetics over it, and we're confident that it exists. We're quite confident in at least 2.5 to 4 kilometers. And so we're looking at a subject where we can actually find a mine because, you know, find these exploration targets, but we're not working for academia. We're working for our shareholders. And so a clearly defined target with low stripping ratios, clearly understood with boreholes in it, which are good, and potential to get more and to develop a resource is obviously the compelling number one target. And then later on, we articulate the release other targets. So Shinganda is a big system, Phil. Shinganda is a very, very big system, but we're homing in. And, you know, one shouldn't be making forward-looking statements, but, you know, everybody can do maths. And, you know, if you get 4 kilometers, you're probably looking at, you know, not less than 50 million tons. And the grade speaks for itself because, we, you know, the grades will be similar. So we've got a chance of anywhere between 15 and 30 million at a grades above 1.5% with a gold copper, with a gold contribution on top. So very, very attractive. And why should we drill a conceptual type work on the property until we've given that target its best shot? So that's really what this news release is all about.
Very good, Colin. I mean, as you know, we were in Zambia not too long ago, and we were at the pits for Shinganda. So, yeah, we were holding big pieces of the core that had 20, 30% copper in them. So there's no doubt there's copper there. But they were also very adamant to show us that there really is a potential gold district there as well. Or not gold district, yeah, that's the wrong words to say, but a gold, prospective gold strike that can be maybe pushed on. Have you got any more news on that?
Well, we know what that is. We want to do some met test work because in Zambia, often the gold is very, but you've got very close to the surface, it can be cooked. It almost looks like a sinter, very dark, it's black, and quite frankly, you know, it's encapsulated. Difficult to get it out. But our evidence up to yet is that when you get a little bit deeper, the gold is very workable and very free milling. So we're doing a bit of met test work. But as I say, when you've got the target that we've got, which is clearly defined, that is likely to be subordinated to the main task of finding an ore body for our shareholders. We put a circle around it and say it's X millions of tons, Y grade, and this is what it's going to cost to work it. And you can quickly do a preliminary economic assessment and sort of quantify, value it. And that's what it's all about now, Phil. You know, we've had all the excitement over the last 2 or 3 months with these copper deposits. It's about time was junior started bringing some to account, you know, which you can put in a box and label.
Yeah. This third set of drilling then should then end up with some JORC resource at the end of it, you hope?
Oh, absolutely. We'll be looking for at least an inferred resource. Because, you know, once we know the strike, once we get that sort of dip holes, really, you know, I mean, nothing's really deep when you're talking ore body between, well, it's supposed to peak out at 70, but I think, you know, we may get 80s and 90s, but no borehole will be much longer than 100 meters. So we'll quickly work up a JORC resource.
Okay, so not too expensive to drill either because they're pretty shallow holes.
No, it's not expensive to, you know, drilling's never cheap. But we've done all the preliminary work to make sure that where we're drilling is the right place to drill. The subject we're drilling has got the right grade. And we've already got a sort of conceptual circle around what we're looking for. Now what we've got to do is prove that circle.
So give us an idea of what people would be getting for their £12.2 million worth of valuation in Galileo. What cash have you got? You've got Lew and Sobey assets. You've got... This
well, you remember, we've completed that disposal. So we've got over £4 million in the kitty. We've got Lew and Sobey, which we know is a small mine for a mini pit, and we've got takers nearby. We've also got interest in a deeper proposition. The deeper proposition being 65 million tons or 70 million tons, as some say, at around about 1.5 to 2%. So that could be huge, or it could be a neat little operation of an open pit, followed up by a decline, ex the open pit, to around about 500 meters. Of course, if we prove the deep concept, then plan B becomes redundant, and it's all about plan C being a deep concept, and that would be a natural addition to the Mopani mine. So that's Lew and Sobey, and that in its own can justify our valuation by very, very large multiples. I know that people are saying, come on, make your mind up, Colin, but you know, I don't want to close the door. What leads, like, you know, open a door, what leads down a country lane, close off a six-lane highway. You know, that once some of these choices the company's got to make are mutually exclusive to others. And remember, you know, Mopani was just a name until 2 months ago. Mopani's now been acquired. It's an active mine with $1.5 billion being put into it, and is Mufulira will be looking for more ore to keep their concentrator working. So, and they must figure. And then there's the plants not so very far away, which need all. That's for the, you know, the smaller operation. So the company is busy working on what is the best solution and what is the best way forward. But there's a lot of interest in Lew and Sobey. So that, I mean, that for 12
so you
million...
Think Lew and, you think Lew and Sobey's worth more than £12 million market cap and then minus your 4,000 cash?
4 million cash.
Good Lord. If it's only worth 8 million quid, I think this conversation is redundant. We should all be standing on the corner with a big issue. Now this is a very valuable project, which a lot of people would like. I haven't even inferred, because I don't think it's appropriate that I do, too much about where it sits in its location and proximity to the Congo. But, you know, we're talking about...
Yeah, well, I remember when we were there, they asked us whether we wanted to walk over to the border, you know, which was 600 meters away from where we were. We declined. I hasten to add, but...
There you go, Kevin. There you go. I mean, the first thing we did, I think, was the right thing to do, and it proved to be the right thing to do, was go to the core shed. And we came across this like shell band, which was of no interest to anybody until you put an XRF over it and got over 2% copper. So that had not even been identified by other people, but it did not sit in the standard lithology for the Mifflera minor, the Mopani complex, more like your DRC type material, Kolwezi possibly. So, you know, the geology is even different to our benefit. So there's a lot going for Lubensobia, a hell of a lot going for Lubensobia. And new concepts, new geophysics, new everything brings it into play as a lot more than when we acquired it. New commercial activities brings it into play a lot more than we acquired it. So I think if we got nothing in the stable, Lubensobia do the valuation times quite a few multiples. So let's go to Shignanshi, I've just told you about. Let's go to that massive license, 28001 in the northwest. That's a license which is bang in the trend between Kamoa and the Ivanhoe acquisitions down in Angola. We're bang on trend. We've got our geologists as we're sitting talking now on that ground. I don't know if you got out there, but gee whiz, that's a very, very interesting ground, 28001. It's a big license, Kevin. Then you go to Zimbabwe, we've got the lithium, 520 square kilometers. My first 20 meters of our first hole identified spodumene, and we're busy on the ground there doing what we do. Then we've got down near Bulawayo, we've got at least 8 kilometers of strike from that drilling of potential medium to high grade gold, and discovered an ultramafic block, which we suspect is nickel bearing. Then we go to Kalahari, in Botswana with our joint ventures with Sandfire, and license 39 and 40 are beginning to show a lot of promise, as is license 253 in between, you know, within the Cobbery licensing area. And as you say, 4 million quid in the bank and big projects in big places. Zimbabwe as a jurisdiction is getting better by the day. Any one of those projects make nonsense of the current share price and with it, you know, with its cash and with its potential. So any one of those projects and bring the bacon over our shareholders. And I know what they're saying to me. Come on, Colin, stop talking and bring the bacon up. And that's, of course, what I've got to do.
So are you waiting to cure the bacon rather than just bring it as a raw carcass?
Well, I don't want you to bring you a piece of bacon, what you look at, turn your nose up and say, you know, I like back bacon. I like to see me meat. I don't want it all bloody fat. You've got to understand there's such a disconnect, Kevin, at the moment, you know, that You look at that copper price, and people take such a short-term view of it. There's a push and pull. The Chinese don't want $10,000 and $11,000 copper. They don't want it, Kevin. So they're telling you every 5 minutes they've got apartment blocks in Shanghai and apartment blocks in Beijing with nobody in them. The economic potential is absolutely miserable, and they don't. You know, as I gave that, you know, that little talk in London on the 29th. Copper is today's oil, and there's such a push-pull going on. But those who know, those in the trade, basically, are taking note what companies like Galileo are doing. And we've got some really nice copper positions. And it's brought folks out of the woodwork. You know, turned this clock back a year, and I was probably talking to myself and my colleagues in the team. I mean, it was really hard banging on doors. Now there's a lot of interest outdoor. I wouldn't go so far as to say it's been banged on. But certainly there's so much interest in what we're doing. And, you know, the BHP acquisition, potential acquisition of Anglo, which fell through, didn't make any more copper, Kevin. I've got, you know, I don't know how many times I've got to say it. Didn't make any more copper. It was just putting copper out of Anglo's hands into BHP's hands. But it didn't make any new copper. Show me the new projects. You can't, Kevin. Show me the new projects. Show me the demand in 28. And I'm not one of these loonies that are just going on and on and on about electric vehicles. You've got a developing world. You've got a developing world. And that developing world needs fridges, needs televisions, needs cell phones, needs all the basics. So this copper story, this copper trade is unstoppable. And of course, it's adding momentum to our projects. And it's giving us optionality and choice. And I would ask our shareholders and would-be shareholders, please, recognize that management have got to, you know, have got a backpack of cards and play them in the best interest of shareholders. And that's what we're trying to do, particularly with Lubensobia, Kevin. I know the frustration of our shareholders. I share it. I know the frustration. Come on, Colin, you've got a license. Get on with it. I know that frustration. I know it. But fortunately, I guess the difference is between me and the shareholders is they have to rely, sadly, on RNSs. And I have to deal with outside their real world of interest, would-be interest. stated interest, which is not really interest, and, you know, work through that minefield to get the best solution for the shareholders. And I, you know, I use this platform to assure them that's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah, and these things take time, don't they? They take a lot longer than you ever anticipate.
Well, that's absolutely right. Mining's not a fast-moving business. And of course, once you've chosen a route, Bill, it tends to be terminal. It's a bit like one of those great big oil tankers. Once it gets going, it takes a hell of a job to stop it. It takes a hell of a job, to even bigger job, to turn it round. So you have to be very careful. And of course, you chart. And Lewin Soap is a classic example of that. Yeah. But it's not, let's face it, where are we, Phil, compared with 2 years ago, you know? And I'm not talking specifically about our companies, our projects. I'm talking about junior sector in general. We've got choices now. If you've got a commodity, if you're in that copper or nickel space and you've got a concession and you can build it up to over $1.5 billion, I think somewhere around there, $2 billion worth of gross value of your commodity, then you have to be in play sooner or later. The majors are sitting there. They've got to lower the bar. They can't just go and say, no, we're not buying a project unless it's got 50% indicated and over 1.5 million tons of contained copper. And I don't know where to go looking for those projects. They've got to lower the bar. We've got to have a real, real big rejig of our industry. And so in the middle of all that, we're trying to do the best for our shareholders. And I think, as you say, it's not a fast-moving business. But at the same time, when you do get it right, it tends to be very right. And when you get it wrong, I'm afraid you can't turn the boat around that quickly.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's always good to catch up with you, Colin, and listen to your musings on, you know, obviously the projects, but also the wider market and sort of the geopolitical situations. But on that note, we'll say Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Galileo Resources, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.